Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Christ Paid the Penalty is the title of the message. And so this message is just kind of going over the penalty that God paid, but we're going to go over it in a way that, you know, it's kind of interesting. But we're going to talk about some heavy topics today. And I just want everyone to leave knowing just how much God loves them. As usual, that's usually the thing, right? To leave knowing how much God loves you and that he is with you, but how we're supposed to live in this life. I don't want anyone on this call to be deceived. I want everyone to know the full truth of the gospel. And so we're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 8. So it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you to his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace. Work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, that if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit." That was a lot of scripture. But it was really good scripture, right? So we kind of see in this passage that we just read that Peter is just talking about, hey, this is how we're supposed to live for Christ, right? And if you live for Christ, many good things will happen. But even then, you can do good and you can do good and you still might suffer for doing good, right? He's literally just saying you might suffer for doing good. And if you do, that's a good thing, right? It's okay. Christ suffered, but when you suffer, repay that person that did you evil with good, with blessing, right? This is the kingdom that we are in. If you are a Christian, this is the kingdom that you signed up for. It's an upside down kingdom, right? And so in this message, I just want to go over three things. I have 3 points. And the first point is just kind of going in the sequence that the scripture went, right? So the first point is how we should live, right? How we should live. There's a standard of living for those who have accepted Christ, right? There's a standard of living. We are not supposed to live the way we once lived. So I have a secret, right? Spoiler alert, okay? We are not saved by works. Have you ever heard that preached before? Somebody saying that, hey, in order to be saved, you have to do this and this. Let me tell you, that's not the gospel. We are not saved by works. We cannot save ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, go over this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You cannot take credit for this. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This verse clearly says that we are not saved by the good things we have done so that we cannot boast about it. But it does say something else, right? Verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. What does that mean? Well, we already know that we are not saved by our works, but we are saved for works, for good works, right? What are those good works? We just went over them in the scripture. Those good works that we should be of one mind. We should sympathize with another. We should love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be tenderhearted, have a humble attitude, right? All of these things that we just mentioned, that's the work that God wants, right? And there's more to that, right? It's not just these limited to these things that we see right here. There's more, right? We should tell the truth, repay insult with blessing. We should forgive. That wasn't on the list, but we should forgive if we want to be forgiven, right? These are the good works. God has good things, and he prepares us for that by giving us, he preps us by giving us his very own spirit. When we believe in him and we put our faith in Jesus, he fills us with his spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases God. So it's not like, you know, you come to Christ and then you change on your own. No, no, you are made new in Christ. That verse even said, he created us anew in Christ Jesus. That sounds like a different verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are new creations in Christ. The old is gone. Behold, a new life has just begun, right? So we are created anew in Christ Jesus, which means we should do different things than we did before, right? We're new. Right? These are the new things that we have to do. But I want to also address in this that salvation is not fire insurance, right? Some people say, well, I gave my life to Jesus, which means I'm going to heaven and that is it, right? I don't have to be obedient. There's enough grace to cover the sins that I'm deliberately, purposefully, willfully doing. That's not the gospel either, right? If you've ever heard the doctrine, once saved, always saved, it's false. It's false. There's scripture for that. And I want to share those scriptures with you so that you guys are aware and informed so that you are not deceived by the evil one to think that you can just receive salvation and then trample on it. No. Hebrews talks about this. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, there's no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There's only a terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, right? Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant that makes us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. This passage is serious, and it's not talking about unbelievers, right? It says here, if we deliberately continue sinning, after we have come to the knowledge of truth or received the knowledge of truth. So it's talking to people who have received Jesus and know what Jesus have done and choose to continue to sin willfully. Like, you know, it's wrong and you're like, I don't care. The blood of Jesus is enough. No, you're treating the blood of Jesus. You're treating the sacrifice that sets us free and makes us holy as though it were common and unholy. That's not how we should live as Christians. And if you have been living like that and you're on this call, I say, repent. Repent. God has better for you. And he has, his Holy Spirit gives us the power to live holy. His blood covers our sins. And it's not something we should take lightly, right? It's not something that we should take lightly. If you want to read another verse about that, Hebrews 6, 4 through 7 also talks about someone who has experienced God and rejects him after the fact. So we should think about these things as Christians. We want to stand firm and we want to honor the God that died for us. We want to love him. It's not because by compulsion that we do it, like, oh, we're afraid that we're going to go to hell. No, right? We do these things out of love for the creator, love for the one who died for us. So this is how we should live, right? We should live tender-hearted, compassionate, humble. We should forgive. We should pour out our life. Like if you say that you're saying that when you give your life to Jesus, when you make Jesus your Lord, he is your Lord, right? You're laying down your way of doing things for his way, the kingdom way of living life. And so that's how we should live. We should live in remembrance of what Jesus has done, in honor and reverence of what Jesus has done. Like Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear in the sense that you're so scared that you run away from God. No, fear that causes you to honor and revere him, right? Because you want to love him in the same way he loved you, right? So that's how we should live. The truth about doing good is the second part, right? So it says in the scripture that we read that we should do good. We should do all these things. That we should live this way. But then it also says at the end, it says, who will be eager to harm you if you do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. So we can do good. And because we're in a kingdom that is completely opposite to our kingdom, you can do good and still suffer for it. But this is the truth that I want to tell you about doing good. Regardless of if you are a Christian or you're not a Christian, we all suffer. It's a part of life. Everyone goes through suffering, whether you are rich or you're poor, or you accept Jesus and you honor him or you don't. We all suffer. And even if it looks like somebody isn't suffering and they're totally against God, well, there's an afterlife, right? So the difference about suffering for Christ and just suffering in general, the difference for us Christians is that there is an eternal reward, right? If you suffer for doing good, God will reward you. That's so great. I want to be rewarded by God. Without Christ, though, if you don't have Christ and you're just going through the suffering that normally happens, it's a hopeless situation because you can't look forward to anything. A lot of people think that when they die, that it's just darkness. It's just, you know, there's nothing after. But we know that there's two places. There's either heaven or hell. So we will all suffer. But the thing about suffering for us Christians, it's not, It doesn't feel good. We don't like it, but it's not a bad thing. John 16:33, this is Jesus talking. I have told you all of this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So Jesus himself, he never said that when you accept me, everything's going to be great. No, he never said that. So here on earth, you will have many trials and many sorrows, but we can take heart because he has overcome the world. And not only that, he is with us. He's with us in our suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will be able to have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So in our kingdom, in the kingdom of God, suffering, when we go through suffering, first of all, we should expect it. And we can be very glad, not glad that we're suffering in the sense that, like, it's painful, right? If something hurts, it hurts. But be very glad because we know that when we go through these suffering, this suffering, these trials, these sorrows, we are partnering with Christ in his suffering, right? We go through suffering and we're not above suffering. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself, fully God, fully man, came on this earth and suffered. We are not above it. If Jesus is our master, then we will go through the same thing. We will suffer, not to his degree, but we will suffer. So our suffering makes us partner in Christ's suffering, and we have the wonderful joy. You can have joyful expectation of seeing the glory when it is revealed. If you remember the verse I read in Hebrews earlier that said that if you deliberately keep on sinning, wait for or expect is trembling fear, raging fire. But when you partner with God, when you accept Jesus and you choose to live a life of obedience and you share in his sufferings, you have wonderful joy awaiting you, because you're going to see the glory of God and you're going to be with him. So we know how we should live, and we know, we know how we should live. And we know that we will suffer, right? The truth about doing good is that you're not always going to experience, everybody's not going to like you for doing the right thing. That's okay. Because you will be rewarded by your Father in heaven. Which one's more important? So the next point is clinging to Christ's example. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned. Can you imagine that? He never sinned. That's the truth. But he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. Let's think about this, right? Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, never sinned, came on this earth, suffered, and died for our sins, right? Talk about suffering for doing good. And he suffered at the hands of those he was dying to save. He never sinned. That's the part I want to pull out of this verse. It's like he suffered one time for all sin. He never sinned. He never sinned. He never sinned. But he died for our sin. Just let that sink in. Someone who has never even done wrong. We can think of our lives and think about the things we've done wrong. Like, I could think of some things I did wrong. Nobody's above that, except for Jesus. He did no one wrong. Yet he was done wrong to a degree we can't even understand or fathom. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, there it is again, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This sounds like a God that I want to serve, that I do serve. He never sinned, but he became the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. He wants us to be in relationship and fellowship so much that he never sinned, but he died for our sin. He chose to pay the penalty for our sins. He was not forced. He chose to pay the penalty for our sins. That's the love that he has, that sacrificial love that he has for us. Hebrews chapter 12. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, this is Jesus, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. because of the joy awaiting him, right? That was his choice. He even said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. I give it up for our sake, right? So because of the joy awaiting Jesus, he endured the cross. And sometimes I like to think of this as, because of what Jesus has done for us, we can endure this life. We can endure suffering. We can endure the hardship that sometimes we experience and we want to blame God, right? We can endure it. If God can endure it, we can endure it. And it even says in verse 3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. When we live in remembrance of what Jesus has done, we can stand firm in hard situations, in hardship. We can stand firm in suffering. We must follow his example, right? When we give our life to Jesus, we said we're laying it down to live for you, right? That's not something we should take lightly. We must follow his example. Jesus didn't do something that he, like, everything he did, we should be doing, right? He never tells us to do something that he has not first shown the example. That's the God we serve. He shows that he lives and he leads by example. He's not a hypocrite. There's no hypocrisy in him, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. If you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Right? So it says, just as Jesus Christ, when he suffered physical pain, it was to the extent of death, right? He died. He died. He rose again, but he died. And if we ever suffer physically for Christ in that same way and we die, we are finished with sin, right? Because we get to be with him in heaven. So in our suffering, we have to wrestle with how we feel sometimes, but we can stand firm and we can even be of good cheer, because even if you die in the middle of suffering for Christ, you know you're finished with sin. You don't even have to struggle with it no more. You get to be with him. You have made it to the end. And God, I want to say this, that God is faithful. He's able to keep us through this life, no matter what we face. He's able to keep us through the whole thing so that we can be with him in heaven, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. This is the last verse. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. When we endure to the end, it's those who endure to the end who receive the crown of life. Don't forget that God is with you in the hardship. He's with you. He's giving, again, like I said, he's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Because he will help you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. So we know how we should live. And it's great and amazing to pour out our love in the way that we live for Christ. But you will suffer. And you might even suffer. Sometimes you suffer for no reason. But you might even suffer for doing good. Doing exactly what God has called you to do. You might suffer. Your friends might ridicule you. Your parents might throw you away, abandon you. The whole world could you know, insult you. But we are living for a different kingdom. We're living for God, and we know that we will receive the crown of life after this life. And so, yeah, that brings us to the end of the message. I hope this message really touched you guys and it really pierced some hearts. I want everyone to know the full truth of the gospel. I don't want anyone to fall away because of lack of knowledge. And so if you're hearing this message, and you're just asking yourself, do you know, you're just asking yourself, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him? Like, have a relationship with him? Are you pursuing him? Are you walking with him? Have you experienced his steadfast love? Let me tell you, he wants to pour it out. If you're on this call and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to share the gospel with you. Isaiah chapter 53:6. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Just think about that. Right? We've all chosen sin in some way over God at some point in our life. Or fallen into sin or whatever it may be for you. We left God's path to follow our own. Yet, despite all of that, Jesus took the penalty for our sins. Right? Today, the name of today's message, Christ paid the penalty, a penalty we should have paid. But he paid it for us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right? We've all sinned. Sin separates us from God. Right? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin separates us from God. And that separation, that death is referring to eternal separation from God in hell. Right? The wages of sin is death, right? That's that separation from us eternally from God in hell. That's bad news, right? Because we've all sinned. Sin separates us from God. We are in need of a savior, but spoiler alert, we have one. Jesus came. God sent Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sins. And when Jesus died for us, he paid the price in full, the penalty. Christ paid the penalty in full for our sins so that we are no longer separated from God, so that we can have communion with God. We can know God. We can have fellowship with him here on earth and continue. Eternity starts when you accept Jesus, right? You continue that relationship till you die and you get to be with him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will get the gift of eternal life. And eternal life is a gift, like we said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast. It's not by works that we're saved. We're saved for good works, but it's not our works can never save us, right? And so it's because Jesus died and paid the penalty for sin that we get eternal life when we accept him. When we say, and when you say that you're accepting Jesus, right? Again, you're saying that he's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord. You're living for him. You're laying down your way. You're what you think and your path of doing something and leaving your path. And you're jumping onto God's path saying, God, I want to follow you. You're picking up your cross daily to follow him. That's what you're saying. And so if you're on this call and you're saying that I want to surrender my life to God, I want to receive the Lord that would die for me, a God that never sinned, had never tasted sin, never did wrong, but chose to die for the people who put him on the cross. He died so that we can know him and have fellowship and have relationship with him. And he wants to partner with us too, right? We have things to do. We have adventures to go on with God. And so if you're hearing this gospel message and you're saying that you want to give your life to Jesus, say this prayer with me. If you have accepted Jesus, but you wanting to rededicate your life, you say, I want to actually live for God. You can say this prayer too. Or if you're a Christian and you just love Jesus, you want to say it again. Let everyone just say it, right? repeat after me. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust you and follow you. Everything I have is yours now, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.